you for tuning in to The Tricia Goyer Show. I'm sharing my heart and answering questions about faith, writing, homeschool, big family living, and so much more. I'll also be digging deep into meaningful conversations with other authors, speakers, moms, and God lovers. I'm your host, Tricia Goyer, wife to John, mom of 10, author of over 80 books, speaker, homeschooler, avid reader, and mega nap taker. I'm so glad you're here. Well, friends, I'm so excited to have a new friend here today, Kayla Kraft. We are going to be talking about her new book, What Do You Really Want? I have so many questions for her. But before we jump into all my questions, all the things I need help with, Kayla, so much, tell me a little bit, or tell all of us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I'm so excited to be here, Tricia. Thanks for having me. So I have been in the coaching entrepreneur space for 13 years now, which is crazy. I originally was an ER nurse, and then I got my start in network marketing. And you don't realize when you get into network marketing that you're basically opening up a coaching business because you're helping coach people to success. But I actually opened up my own coaching company back in 2017 and built that up and have changed over 20,000 lives inside a Mommy Millionaire. And I decided to write a book all on the coaching method that I use called Take 7. So I am coming out with a book called What Do You Really Want? 7 Questions to True Meaning, Connection, and Abundance. And yeah, that's where you find me today.
Awesome. And it's going to be releasing soon. We're going to air this before it releases because you have some awesome bonus things happening. I just got your little package. I just went on there and ordered your package because I want all the coaching, all the things. So I'm excited about that. So a little about me. I have over 90 books in print. I'm a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling mom, and we have 10 children. So all the things, I'm like, I love it. I love everything you talk about believing in yourself and just doing it. My first book got published when I was 28, homeschooling mom. I just have my high school diploma and I'm like, I'm a writer. I can do this. And so that's been going awesome. But I think so many times we self-sabotage ourselves and we really get in our mind about things. So even though I do a lot of things, I'm not a millionaire yet. So let's talk about just about the self-sabotage and about helping people kind of break through, even though they may be successful in many areas. How do you go to the next level and really believe in yourself and then just put yourself out there to do what God designed you to do?
That is a loaded question.
I know. That's like 3 questions in one, right? Actually. So,
you know, I think that we put so much pressure on ourselves to get it right the first time, right? You wrote your book at 28 and most people will go, well, if that one's not a bestseller and that one doesn't, you know, reach all of my goals, then I'm just going to give up. And that's such the wrong attitude to have because in the past 13 years, I have failed so much. Mm-hmm. I want to write a whole book on all of my failures, but there's going to be like volumes because there's so many, right? Because failures are actually what make you. And so I think that's important to point out that like embracing the failure, like fail your way there and eventually you're going to figure out what works. You've now written 90 books. So you have a formula, you figured out how to sell these things, right? And so you're in the perfect position to teach other people how to do that. And then it comes into, okay, but I'm not a millionaire yet. Okay. So are you charging what you're worth?
Probably no, definitely I'm not charging what I'm worth. Yeah. I'm nice. I'm everyone's friend. I help everyone out.
But you know what? Most people have that mindset. You actually think you're helping people out by doing things for free. And I want to challenge that to everybody listening in right now, because when people pay for something, they pay attention. So that's why I used to do free challenges and free classes and all this stuff. And I'd find, you know, I'd give them the keys to the kingdom and tell them exactly what to do. And I wasn't getting any testimonies. I wasn't getting people going, Kayla, you changed my life. They go, oh, that felt so good and amazing. I'm like, yeah, but what'd you do with the information?
Right.
And it was like crickets after that. And so when people have skin in the game, they then take action because they're like, wow, I don't want to like miss out on that investment I made in myself. And so I have a saying, I say, I charge what I charge as a favor to you. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, working with me, it's a multiple 6-figure investment to come in and get coached by me. Because I know I'm going to make that person millions of dollars, and they're going to show up at a whole new level because they've just invested that much into themselves. And, you know, you said you were a high school graduate. How much do most people pay to go to college? Most people land themselves in about six figures worth of debt coming out of college. Exactly. That's like average. And that's normal. Like, society has normalized the fact that it's okay to invest in yourself to go to college, even though most people that get a college degree these days don't do anything with it. And we haven't normalized investing in ourselves to grow and find out the strategy that's, you know, meant for us. So I think to try to answer that question, I think I tried to put it all together.
I'm getting a lot of good stuff out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, we've got to really start charging what is going to make people show up. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to say about that.
Oh, I love that. And so what I'm excited about is you put so many secrets in this book, and I cannot wait to hold it in my hands and to hear all the things. And yes, I mean, I think coaching with you would be amazing, but I love that you're like, you know what? I'm going to show up for the people who are going to pick up this book. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show up with the courses and stuff that I'm offering for the pre-order. So talk about that, because I know so many times, you know, it takes a lot of work to write a book. It takes a lot of work to get the agent, go through the edits. I've done it over and over again. So why was your heart actually putting all this knowledge that you have into a book that people can take and use, and wherever level they are, just incorporate that into their lives?
That's a good question. Well, I think God put it on my heart years ago to write a book. And, you know, I have this thing about me. It's a total gift that God gave me, that when people hang out with me, they just, for some reason, believe in themselves after.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have the gift of cheerleading, you know, building them up and just speaking life over people. But for some reason, that's what I constantly kept hearing back from people. It's like, after I hang out with you, it's like I got a kick in the butt. And I was like, I'm just being myself. Like, I didn't like have a syllabus to go through with you. I'm being myself. And I said, God, how do I put this so that the whole world can see it? And what's crazy is, like, this is how you know it's a dream from God, is it's going to take a lot of people to bring that dream to fruition. Mm-hmm. If it's not really a dream from God, it doesn't involve anybody else, and it's not going to last beyond you. But if it is from God, it's going to take a team, it's going to take a miracle, and it's so much bigger than you. And that's exactly what this book has become. It's so much bigger than me. And I say it's a book you're buying, but really it's a tool that you're going to have in your tool belt forever. And I just visualize it being on everybody's coffee tables all over the world. And they could pick it up and go, okay, I'm stuck right now. Let me go through the Take 7 method so that way I can do what I want. And a lot of people are stuck in their health. They're stuck in their career. They're stuck in their net worth. They're stuck in relationships, right? And this Take 7 method will help them go through any area and really, you know, change the game for themselves.
Oh, I'm loving that so much. So, and I think once you're successful in one area and you see that success, you can see like, oh wait, there's so much more that I can do. So like, I've written all these books, my husband and I, we've adopted 7 kids. We have 3 biological. Like, I feel, I know how to run a home and I know how to write books. For a long time, my health was like, it was bad. And in the last year, I lost 85 pounds. I'm still on that journey. But it's like, when we are able to look at these things and realize, like, I can do this, I can be successful, I can make healthy choices in all these areas, which I'm so excited about that you talk about all these areas in the book. It just leads to like, okay, what else can I accomplish with God's help? So let's talk about these questions that you ask and lead us through kind of the journey that someone can expect when they pick up your book.
Okay. So, and that's what it is. It is a journey. I like that. And you know that, because as an author, that's what you're trying to do, right? We're trying to get them all the way to chapter 11.
Yes.
So I started out in the book talking about some basic concepts that are really important to understand before you go through the Take 7 method. Mm-hmm. And one of the concepts that I want people to understand is that you are your biggest asset. Mm-hmm. And when you hear that, you're like, well, yeah, duh. But do you really live your life that way? Are you constantly investing in yourself? And I'm so proud of you just losing 85 pounds. I just lost 21 pounds too. So I know what it's like to just be, you know, you put on extra weight because you're at the bottom of the totem pole. You're taking care of everybody else and not yourself. Your adrenals are burnt out. It happens to a lot of entrepreneurs and moms, right? And so, you know, we have to look at ourselves and say, what do I need? So that way I can be overflowing. Because if we're really going to impact the world the way that God wants us to impact the world, we have to be in the overflow. We cannot give from an empty cup. And so I start off my morning every morning, 6 a.m. I have it CEO time. I got to spend time with God. Yeah. Last night, it actually, that started at 12:30. God woke me up and I was like, okay, let's start praying. Let's start going. Okay. I was like, well, I really want to be asleep right now, but he wanted me to pray. And so anyway, the prayer strengthens and matures you to really be in alignment with what God has for you that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, okay, what kind of food am I fueling my body with?
Yes.
What am I consuming? So many of us, we don't guard our hearts. We don't. Right. We just let all this stuff come in. I mean, if I walk into somebody's house or if I walk in somewhere and they have the news channel on, I will walk out. I'll say, yeah. I can't get my hair done. I can't do it. I will walk out. I'm like, I don't want that. I got to protect myself from all the things of the world that are trying to get my attention because I got to focus on what God has for me today. And most of us just do not guard ourselves in that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I use the example in the book as I'm a real estate investor. And so I do like multifamily apartments and stuff like that. And I always think, okay, I protect my asset like crazy. I don't let crazy tenants in. We do this thorough background checks. You know, we make sure they put a deposit down. And there's a lot of things that we do to invest in the property on a regular basis to make sure it's nice and it's updated and people want to live there. If I didn't take care of that asset, I'd lose money. Why are we not doing that with ourselves? Mm-hmm. Right. And going like, hey, what do I need to do to maintain my happiness and maintain the temple that God has given me to host the Holy Spirit in? Wow. Like if I worked that like a job, I'd start getting some different results in our lives. Right.
I love that. I love that CEO time. And I totally agree. That's the first thing I do. I get myself a big glass of water. I start my audio Bible as I'm making breakfast. And then I sit down with my Bible after I have my breakfast. And it is that time with God. It just totally, it redirects our whole day. Like when we have our mind focused on him, we know what his plans are for us. And sometimes I think I know what my day is going to be. And he's like, nope, you need to do this. This is who you're going to reach out to. This is what you're going to write about. And I'm like, okay. And that's how the 90 books have come. There are the topics that I didn't even think about are there, and I'm working on it and we're writing it and we're going to get it to a publisher, and that's how it's happened. But it does take that time sitting down with God and really focusing on him. But you're so right. When we're always thinking about the deadline or the kid or the husband or all the things, and we don't care for ourselves, I would take like an hour and a half nap every afternoon because I'd be so drained. First of all, that's a lot of weight to carry around, but so drained from all the giving that the more I care for myself, the more I'm better able to care for other people. Mm-hmm. And when, I get do you want to interview this person? Do you want to interview this person? And the one thing that stood out to me, in the press kit from you was self-sabotage. Cause I see it now that I'm not self-sabotaging in that area. I'm sure there's other areas. I cannot wait to go through your book, but I see it so many times in the women around me that I want to get healthy, but I have kids. I have this. I saw, you said before, my kids are my why, not my excuse. And there's absolutely so many things in our lives that they're the reason we should be doing this. They shouldn't be an excuse for doing the right thing, getting healthy, following our dreams. So talk about that a little bit. First of all, the self-sabotage with really, instead of seeing these things as an excuse, actually seeing these things as a why that will propel us to be healthy in all areas, body, soul, mind, spirit, that can lead us to where God has for us, the good plans that he has for us that he's had since the creation of this world.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were talking about self-sabotage. It's such a big theme because so mm-hmm. many of us are struggling with it on a regular basis. And self-sabotage is really when you are not co-creating with God in your mm-hmm. life. You're going, okay, it's all on me to make everything work. And that's a very heavy place to be all the time. No wonder we're sabotaging ourselves yeah. because we're putting so much pressure on ourselves. And so I think self-sabotage shows up as procrastination and it shows up as perfectionism. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's the, I got to make sure everything is perfect before I push send and push post. And really my motto is done is better than perfect. I am known to post things with spelling errors because you know what? Hello, I don't care. I'm not looking to win a spelling contest. I'm looking to get the information out there. And I don't take offense if somebody's like, Kayla, you have a spelling error. I'm like, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. Let me change that up really quick. But so many people go, oh, I would die if somebody found a spelling error on my page. I'm like, oh, because you want people to think you're perfect? That's right. A lie from the enemy
right.
that you're buying into right now. Fall out of agreement with that lie because that's a heavy place again to be. I'm not trying to show up and be like, Kayla's perfect. I'm trying to show everybody I am so imperfect. And I still do it anyway. And I still get the job done. And I've still been able to create my dream life. So if I can do it, you can do it too. And if I showed up perfect all the time, people would feel like there's no room for them. Right? And so I think it's really important that we just start showing up and we start serving with what we have. Mm-hmm. I love that story in the Bible where, you know, Jesus feeds 5,000 with, what was it, 5 loaves and 2 fish?
Yeah.
And that story is so impactful because you have to look at what you have, give it to God, say, thank you for what I have. Can you multiply this? It's not enough right now. I don't feel like it's enough. I'm going to give it to you. And then look what God did. He multiplied it and he fed 5,000 and there were leftovers. That's mm-hmm. crazy. But the reason that story is in the Bible is not just for those people back then to be encouraged and to be fed. It's for us to be fed today going, hey, what do I have in my hands? I have an idea, right? Okay, you, I have a book. I have a topic I want to give to God. Okay, this is what I have. I might not have all the other pieces in place, but I'm going to go and say, thank you, God, for giving me this idea, this topic, these words. Do what you can with it because I know I can't make it all work on my own. And what's so amazing about this, Tricia, is that is when God will get all the glory. Mm-hmm. When we start showing up and we're taking bold steps of faith, living out loud, and something big happens. We have a best-selling book. We have a life-changing year, you know, financially. We go, I didn't do it. It was God. I mean, I did it. I wrote the words, but God sold the books, you know? And that's when people increase their faith because of us constantly sharing our testimony. So, you know, I get fired up around the self-sabotage thing because it's such an enemy play. He does the same thing over and over again. He's not smart. He's constantly coming in to sabotage us by making us doubt ourselves. I read also that procrastination is also a trauma response. And I thought, wow, whoa, this is crazy because I was struggling with procrastination in one of my businesses. Like I just did not want to get anything done. Like no matter what, I had a million other things, you know, I found myself honestly cleaning toilets, which I don't like to do. Like, why am I cleaning this toilet right now when I need to go do this thing? And I realized, okay, I'm scared because something, I had a failure in that business and I was scared to experience it again. And so I kept putting it off. And I said, God, okay, I'm going to give you this lack that I'm feeling, this scarcity that I'm feeling. I can't take it anymore. Take it off of my shoulders, renew my mind, help me take bold steps of faith again. And let me just trust the process of this whole thing. And I'm still working it out in that business. It's not like a home run yet. It's in one of my real estate businesses. But, you know, we're just living a life of faith over here.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that it is a trauma response. My mind just like going, I'm chewing that up right now. Because I think there's so many times like we said outwardly this isn't happening. But it's because inwardly God has something to do in our lives. Like he has an area he wants to work in.
Yes.
He has something he wants to change in our heart. He wants to change our attitude about something. And so I think so many times, like you said, if something's not happening out here, sit down with God and have the conversation. You know, I just led two of my daughters and then two of our unofficially adopted granddaughters that are teens. Their mom, I mentored her for years and now her daughter's come around. Last night we were talking and we had Bible study. We were reading through a book and, you know, they're talking about like, how do I know what God wants? And I'm like, do you sit down with your Bible? Like, do you sit and just be quiet and be still? Like, we think mm-hmm. it's just prayer telling God what we want, but it's like, read God's word and think about what that means to me. Like, what does God want to tell you? And you have to sit still. You have to be quiet and you have to go into your heart and figure out what's going on in there. And so many times if something outside is happening. We need to sit still. So I would love for you to kind of reflect on that. Because, you know, I know in your book, you talk about inner work that we need to do. And some people are like, oh, I don't know, this sounds like really weird or must be voodoo or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So yes. Let's talk about that. Because I think there is, it's really meeting with God and letting him kind of reveal these things. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Psalm 139:24, I think. But we need God to get in there and figure out what's going on so we can be successful outwardly.
That's so good. Well, most of us run on a subconscious programming. We run on subconscious programming. And our subconscious mind is formed before we are 7 years old. Remember, this is the way God designed us. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to think about brushing our teeth. We don't have to think about putting on clothes. We've learned that by 7 years old. We just do it automatically. Okay. Subconscious mind is a good thing. It helps us. But the thing it kind of messes us up is, well, we've watched these adults around us, our parents, maybe make good choices or maybe make bad choices. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what was happening. Some of you guys listening in here in your childhood, but when I was 7, I had already experienced a lot of trauma as a kid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one thing I'll share is, you know, my dad and my mom were divorced when I was 5 because my dad had a drug addiction. Mm. And he went to jail because he started to get wrapped up in some bad things. And that was very traumatic as a child because, you know, there's two people in your life that are physically supposed to be there for you, right? Excuse me. And in a moment, really, I lost one of those people. And so I really struggled with trusting people and men. I didn't trust men specifically. I didn't feel safe around men. There's a lot there that I had to unwind, where when I became an adult, you can't like still have those same coping mechanisms that your 7-year-old self had kind of dealt with. Like, don't talk to guys, don't even look at them, and don't trust anybody. Build up the walls so they are steel and nobody can get in. And God made us to have connection. And so you don't have a lot of joy when you're not connected to people and community. So anyways, God revealed to me that, hey, we got to reparent you. You need to learn who I am as a father, because yes, your earthly father disappointed you, but heavenly father is unchanging. He loves you no matter what. He's always there. Even when the enemy wants to try to make you believe he's not, he's always there. And so part of what I talk about in the book is reparenting yourself to help your inner child have new coping mechanisms. So that way she doesn't like, because all the versions of who you have been for the last, what, you know, for me, 36 years, they're all still a part of you. They're all of your data is stored up here in your brain. And sometimes that's helpful. And most of the time it's hurtful. It's actually causing you damage to not like progress and move forward because you're so stuck on living in the past. And so I talk about the concept of reparenting your inner child. And it's just like, it's not weird. You know, I think people go, well, what does that look like? All I do is I take a picture of myself as a kid and I just look at her. When I'm having a moment, I'm like, okay, I'm scared to do this thing. I am like, I'm scared right now to go on book tour. Like, I'm so scared around it. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, are people going to show up? You know, like, oh my goodness, what if I can't sell the books? Like, there's all these stories. And I'm like, okay, that's not big Kayla that is really living out God's purpose, because she trusts that God's going to bring all the right people, have them show up, because he always has provided. It's little Kayla, the one that didn't have the number one person in her life show up for her. She's the one. So I was like, okay, I got to go spend time with little Kayla and teach her that she's safe to be seen and she's safe to trust people. And that she's safe to, you know, take steps of faith. And that's all I do is just look at the photo of her. And it gives me a sense of peace going, yeah, you're right. You know, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, I love that. So I mentioned before we adopted 7 kids, 6 of them from foster care. Mm-hmm. And talk about baggage, yeah. All the baggage, from all the trauma, all the stuff. And it's so interesting. So we're trying to reparent them because they've been taught to put up walls. They've been taught, as you love them, to push away because they've been hurt over and over again. Like, yep. So this is such a good thing because looking back at my life, I didn't know my biological dad. My stepdad was very distant, uninvolved. So it's always a sense of abandonment, abandonment. So people are going to only care so much, but basically they're just placeholders there. And so as I'm thinking about this, I'm like, oh, this is really, I need to start thinking about this. But it's God who will sit down with us and say, no, I am your father. I was there when they were not. I was there even when they were abandoned. When you felt abandoned, I was there. And so I love that we can look at those things and look at those wounds, just like I try to do through therapy, through wonderful counseling with my girls. And we have one boy, six girls and one boy that we adopted, and try to kind of reparent them. I love this concept that God can do that with us, and we can do that and just retrain ourselves to all those lies that have been there that were there for our protection.
Right.
Like our girls put up walls for their, because they were hurt over and over. So they put up walls for their protection, but they don't need that anymore. There are messages that may be for our protection because we didn't want our hearts being hurt because whatever, lies or whatever. But now we can go to God's word. We can go to his truth. We can sit with him. And I love this concept. This is really cool. I cannot wait for your book. Okay. So we talk about talking to the little Trisha, little Kayla. We talk about the self-sabotage. What other things, a couple more things that people can look forward to, which I'm going to be like counting down the days now till it releases. But what things can we be looking forward to that we can also see or get in your book?
Well, so right now for people who go and invest in the book, they're also going to get access to my course, What Do You Really Want, for free. So it's huge. My agent was like, wow, you're being so generous. I'm like, yeah, I want people to get this book. Like,
I just ordered that whole thing. So,
so thank you. So, yeah, and it's such a value add, right? It's like makes it a no-brainer. Of course, I'm going to get it. And here's the thing is that sometimes it can feel overwhelming when you decide, I want to change my life. Step one is what's not working for you in your life. And when you start going down that list, it's like, whoa, there is a lot I need to change. And it can sometimes go and paralyze you. You just go, I just can't. There's just too much. I'm too old. I'm too this, da, 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 da. And I want you to know that this is why God's mercies are new every single day. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is the thing in front of you today that you can take action on? And I go through this in the Take 7. You know, it's like a little bit at a time. There's this quote going around that says, you're one decision away from a totally different life. And I think that's just such a crock. Like, no, you're not. You know, no, you're not. Let's take salvation, for example. Okay. Yes. Like accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior is a huge decision, but it doesn't end there. That's not the thing that's going to change your life because right. You have to keep making decisions all day, every day to choose to follow God. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's the same in any area, your health, your wealth, your career, your relationships, and following God. And so you have to just keep going. What's the next best step? That's the seventh step. What's the next best step? Okay, what can I do next? Instead of focusing on step 100, let's focus on step one and celebrate along the way. There's this study that was shown that most of us were such high achievers. I mean, you've written 90 books. You're a high achiever. You're like, how many more can I have done before I leave the earth, right?
Yes.
And what happens is if we don't take the time to celebrate, our brain, the pleasure part of our brain actually shrinks. I was like, whoa, that's a big deal. Like I want to experience more joy because that's what God calls us to do, is to experience more joy. It actually creates for us to be a good witness to people. So I was like, I got to start celebrating, right? So every time I complete a step, it's like, whoo, just even sitting there and going, I'm proud of you, Kayla. Wow, thank you, God. And just going into gratitude. Wow, okay, this is amazing. It's making that pleasure part of our brain bigger. So that way it's easier to experience joy all throughout the day and not let little crisis moments get us down because we're experiencing so much true joy. So that's one thing I really hope everybody understands when they get the book in their hands. Just take it one day at a time. Step into the community. And there's going to be people all over the world going through What Do You Really Want? And you can find people that are, you know, committed to going, hey, I'm not going to settle for mediocre anymore. I'm not going to settle for average. I am going to commit to giving my best And that's all I can do.
Oh, I love it. I'm getting so much out of this. So one thing that I'm thinking about is social media. And we'll wrap it up with this because I think sometimes we're afraid to like, I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to like the attention needs to be on Jesus, which it does. But I love the idea of celebrating what God is doing, what I am accomplishing. Like that's different than being prideful. It is really seeing like, no, I trusted God. I took the step of faith. I put this out there. Look what he's done. I'm going to celebrate it. I am so bad about that. I'm so bad. I'm like, oh yeah, I just had a book release last month. I've maybe mentioned it 3 times on social media. Like I need to get in there and celebrate more and talk about it more because sometimes it does feel like I don't want it to be all about me, but it isn't about me. It's God's messages. There's God's truth. Right. God brought me people that connected in the story that just so many things. So I love the switch of my thought, even now during this time you're coaching me. I love it of celebrating the things that are happening without feeling like I'm putting all the spotlight on me and I shouldn't do that. So thank you. Oh, I'm so excited about having the whole book in my hands.
Me too. And I, to say something on that really quick, because I think that's a tool that the enemy uses again is us buying into the false humility. Oh, I'm not going to talk about what I have going on because, you know, it's not that big of a deal. That's actually what he wants us to do because then we shrink right. And we play small. And when we're playing big and we're talking about the things that we're accomplishing and we're sharing with people how they can do it too, everybody wins because everybody's faith is increased. When we're hearing good things that are happening to our friends and especially the people we're following on social media, we should get excited because it means that there's room for us too. Like, oh, there's a way.
Okay, this is so good. So just be prepared, people. My social media is going to be blowing up as I celebrate all the things God's doing. Oh, Kayla, I am so thankful. Where can people go to find out information about you and the book and then these packages that you're putting together for people, which is such a blessing?
Yeah. If they go to craftedoffer.com, you can get all of the goodies that go along with the book. You can find me. I have a podcast too. It's called Crafted Entrepreneur. I'd love for everybody to go over there and listen in. If you're already loving Trisha's podcast, you're going to love mine. So come on over there and you can find me anywhere on social media. It's just Kayla.craft.
All right. Thank you so much, Kayla. It's been awesome talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Trisha Goyer Show. I hope you received help and inspiration. That's what I'm here for. Now, remember, if you would like to submit a question, email it to hello@trishagoyer.com. And I can't wait until we connect again.